Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our summary verses of the books of the Bible introduce us to the theme of each book of the Old and New Testament Scriptures, so that we might have a deeper appreciation and understanding of God's Word of Truth. We pray that these brief studies will enable you to get more out of your daily reading and hearing of God's Holy Word. Welcome back to Burden and Blessing and our summary verses of the Bible. We have been working our way through the books of the Old Testament and the historical books, laying a foundation for much which is going to come later in the prophetical books and the poetical books. We are picking up where we left off with the reign of David. We've covered his reign from the book of Chronicles, and today we're going to be taking a look at a similar view, but different from the book of 1 Kings. Now, this is a little bit of a challenge because sometimes they cover the same amount of history, but from a different perspective. So joining me to go through the study and summary of 1 Kings is Pastor Neil Radical. Neil, what is our verse for summarizing 1 Kings today?
We are looking at 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 23. We're reading from the Christian Standard Bible translation today. It says, "Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below, who keeps the gracious covenant with your servants, who walk before you with all their heart." This is one of those very ironic verses that's chosen from the summary, because if you read through 1 Kings, which again, in my opinion, one of the big differences between 1 and 2 Kings is you have the main prophets. You have Elijah in 1 Kings, you have Elisha in 2 Kings. And basically, it's God sending these prophets to both kings that are following him and ones who are not. But what you see, 1 Kings would make a great dramatic movie. I don't know why Hollywood doesn't do more with it. There's so much coveting, murder, and going against God's commands. It's in that way, it appeals to our human flesh. It's very exciting because there's all of this treachery and treason and just a lot of temptation and men, women falling into that. And so you see this example of here, of despite all of that, despite all those things that are going on in the kingdom and the nation at that time and how wicked God's people were, that remember God's chosen people, as we know, were supposed to be the example to the surrounding nations. Here we say they weren't doing that, and that's why this verse is so wonderful, because it says, it shows the gracious covenant of the Lord God of Israel, who is Jehovah, one singular God, and it says again that there's no other God like this God, and show how he continues to show that mercy, to show that covenant blessing, that I am still going to send you Messiah. Elijah was pointing the people to that true God, Mount Carmel, which we see about in 1 Kings 17. And we rejoice and think about how the Lord continues to deliver his people and his servants who walk before them with all of his heart. You want to share some of your thoughts on 1 Kings?
I think one of the keys with 1 Kings is that, like you were talking about, we get both the good kings and the bad kings. So we're now in the period of the divided kingdom after the time of King David. We get into the king of the reign of Solomon, his son. And then we see the kingdom divide, and so we're going to get an introduction to good kings and bad kings in Israel. All of the kings were evil, and that's where our verse really highlights this history, that there is no God like the true God, but he keeps his covenant with those who walk before him with all their heart. And when all of these kings were rejecting God and they were going about their own will and their own way, we see that the Lord steps in judgment. But when we have the Lord raise up a good king, and there were good kings in the history of the people of Judah in particular, we hear about King Asa and King Jehoshaphat, the Lord is going to bless the results of that. He's going to use those kings in order to lead the people back to repentance and back to the Lord once again. And this history is going to continue on now as we go through into 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings later on. But it highlights, as we saw to study with David, the importance of walking before the Lord, trusting in him with all their heart. And this is another really important thing for us to learn from still today, that the Lord would help us to see and to understand the opportunities that he lays before us, and that his desire is for us to place our trust in him entirely as well.
Dear Heavenly Father, we rely on your covenant, your contract, your loving agreement, that even though we've broken your law and your commandments, you continue to show us mercy and grace. As we read through 1 Kings, help us see the wickedness of mankind and help us to also confess our own sins and to recognize you as the Lord God, our Jehovah Creator, who has created faith in our hearts, who gives us that trust and that joy that you've forgiven every one of our sins, and that you continue to intercede in our day-to-day life. Be also with our nation, Lord Jesus, and continue to establish it on the truth of your holy word, the truth of your covenant, the truth of your forgiveness, the truth of our eternal life in you, the one name under heaven given among men in which we must be saved, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in your name we praise and glory always as our King of Kings. Amen.
Amen. We invite you to listen for new books each week on Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we believe and confess that every word of God is true. We pray that you will be assured that God's word is pure and is more precious than gold.